Jonah chapter 3. Now Jonah has just been spat out by the fish onto the dry ground, and we remember that Jesus said that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights inside the earth, so Jesus was to be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And so now that Jonah's been spat out on the dry land, that is like Jesus being resurrected. And yet, straight away, we're going to read here that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I told you." And so, after Jesus rose from the dead, how did he go and preach to people? Well, he rose from the dead, and he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So when we do that, we are him. We are the risen Jesus going out into the world, just as Jonah was, as it were, resurrected out of the big fish, and then he goes to preach to Nineveh. Now, it's quite likely that there would have been some sort of marks on Jonah after having been inside the inside of a fish for 3 days. Well, he might have been stained or something, might have looked another colour or looked a bit weird after being in the fish like that. But whatever, he would have come to Nineveh and, I suppose, told his story. That I am a sinner who was saved by God's absolute grace. That God was so merciful to me. And so he comes to Nineveh and tells them basically that message. That was the idea. And this is the thing, that if we are to persuade other people of the gospel, we also will be humble, we will be gentle, we'll be kind. We will witness to them of how we've been made like that because we have sinned and because God has shown us amazing grace. And that is what will lead them to repentance. So you remember that, first of all, though, Jonah didn't want to preach to Nineveh because he didn't really want them to repent, because he was a Jew and he didn't want the Gentiles, the non-Jews, to have the chance of salvation. So he's now told again to go to Nineveh and preach. So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord, so he's obedient to it. Now, Nineveh was a very great city, but it took about 3 days to walk around. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried out, saying, "In 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. They put sackcloth on them, that's what they wore when they were mourning. When they were mourning for the death of somebody, even from the greatest of them, even to the smallest of them. And the news reached the king of Nineveh, and he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he proclaimed and published throughout all Nineveh, making a decree of the king, saying, "Neither man nor animal must taste anything. They mustn't eat anything nor drink water. Let them be covered with sackcloth, both man and animal, and let them cry mightily to God. Yes, let us each turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in our hands. Who knows? Perhaps God will turn and repent or change his mind and turn away from his fierce anger so that we don't perish." And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil which he had said he would do unto them, and he didn't do it. So, you see there how God is open to change. When he says through Jonah that in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown, he doesn't actually give any condition. He doesn't say, "unless you repent." But they took it upon themselves to repent. And so he changed, and it didn't happen. And read something very similar to this in Jeremiah, where he says that God is like a potter, and he is working with the clay, and if it goes the way that he wants it to go, then he will do something with it. If not, he'll do something else. And God says that he speaks about a nation or an individual and says what's going to happen to them. But if they change, then it will not happen to them. So God states what's going to happen, and then there is a gap between his statement and that thing coming true. And in that gap, we can repent. And we can change then the outcome of God's word. So he set it up purposefully like that, and we all live in that gap. And that's why there's a great intensity to human behavior, to repentance. If we are truly sorry, then God will change. And in Malachi, it says that God only doesn't change in the sense that the children of Israel, or the sons of Jacob, as it calls them, are not destroyed, are not consumed, but he keeps on saving Israel by grace. So that's the bit that doesn't change about God, his basic grace towards his people. But he himself is open to change all the time. It's like when he says, I will destroy Israel and I will make of Moses a great nation. And Moses says, oh, don't do that. Because then people will laugh at you, people will not take you seriously in the Gentile world. And God says, oh, okay, then I won't then. So it's amazing how God listens to people. And he has sort of set things up like that so that we should pray to him and really see the meaning of our repentance.